I'm Holly.
I'm Ryan.
We're Salonology, and welcome to our salon-flavoured, inspirational and hilariously funny podcast, The Salonology Show.
Yes, indeed, Holly. Now, let's check, first of all, that you are in the right place listening today. This podcast is for salon owners. It is for mobile salons, at-home salons, solopreneurs, those with big teams, those with small teams, those with no teams, anyone who is a business owner in the hair, beauty, aesthetic, spa, or even clinical space. This podcast is for you.
Now, you might be wondering who on earth we are and what we're all about. So what we thought we'd do is we'd do a little 60-second intro to all of the team at Salonology. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us about you in 60 seconds?
Sure. I'm Ryan. I'm a self-confessed marketing geek. You might call me a salon coach, but quite frankly, I hate that term. I'd rather see myself as a motivator and an educator. I'm also a number one best-selling author and a beauty business speaker. I have launched and owned multiple businesses and now I help salon owners to fill their salons with clients. And not just any old clients, clients who love them, bring their friends and pay full price. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a massive fan of Lego, hummus, if you can call that an interest, and running around Las Vegas like a giant man-child. What about you, Holly? Give us the 60-second lowdown on you.
Well, I'm Holly, and I'm the chief cheerleader and salon mentor here at Salonology because I also hate the term coach. We both hate that term, don't we, Ryan? So
yes.
we decided to give ourselves new interesting titles, and chief cheerleader is certainly more what I'm about. I'm here to make sure you guys are doing well and that you're balanced and you're loving what you do. I'm absolutely Disney obsessed. I'm a travel addict. I spend far too much money on shoes and far too much time planning holidays. You can usually find me in front of one website or another looking for a trip that we'll probably never take. I spent my 20s bouncing around the world. I sold international property. I recruited internationally. I worked as a PR girl in Ibiza. But then at 27, I decided it was time to get a bit more serious and start making some money for all those travels. So I opened my own salon, but I had zero experience and zero qualifications. But I built up that salon to 9 rooms, 2 lounges, full spa facilities. It won loads of awards. And I sold the business in January 2020 so I could focus full time on helping other salon owners get results, but also to find freedom. I absolutely love Vegas. I love Florida. I love my dog. I love my family. I hate jealous people. I hate pot stirrers. I hate the rain.
Who doesn't hate the rain? Okay, excellent. Now, on to the next important member of the team, which some people who have been in our world a little while might be familiar with, others might not, and that is Maverick. So Maverick in 60 seconds, or rather, to give him his full name, Maverick Patrick Barry Hamburger, Speedy Gonzalez, Magic McMuffin, Emilio Estefez, Baby Oatmeal Head, Elvis Compromise Power.
Can you say that after a drink?
Probably not as accurately, is a 5.5-year-old schnoodle and the heir to the power throne. That's half mini schnauzer, half mini poodle. He loves long walks, sniffing other dogs' bottoms, especially other poodle crosses, and snuggles on the sofa more with his mummy than his daddy, admittedly. Mm-hmm, he's rarely seen without a ball in his mouth, and he is very, very much a part of our team. He is the Salonology head of security, chief licking officer, and the chair dog of cuteness. He dislikes cats, puddles, and people ringing our doorbell, especially Ricky the postman.
Yeah, high vis is a particular trigger
point
for him.
High vis is a trigger for him. Yes, indeed.
He likes to scream the house down. Get away from my mummy. So the actual business, Salonology, in 60 seconds, let's tell you a little bit about that. It was formerly hollypower.com. I know that's very vain and conceited
having it named after me.
So we changed it to Beauty Business Superstars, which we then decided was an absolutely rubbish name, which we changed to Salonology in 2019. But we actually launched the business back in 2014. So we've been going for some time now. We created it to be everything that we wished was available when we opened our salon. So basically what we did, we looked at every problem, challenge, issue, worry, hurdle, everything that came up for us in our business. And we tried to create solutions for our clients so they can grow and create a business that fuels their dreams. Because I absolutely 100% wholeheartedly believe that you shouldn't have to work for your salon. Your salon should work for you. It's the attitude I took to my business, and that's how we managed to grow it and separate ourselves so we had freedom from it too. So Salonology helps salon owners to connect with other salon owners. We help you create fresh new treatments. We help you price yourselves right, grow your social media platforms, deal with issues, set goals, sell more, book more, and have more. Your salon should be the platform that makes all your dreams come true, and we want to help you do that.
Amen. Okay, so assuming that people haven't already switched off by now, Holly, what should they expect from the Salonology Show podcast?
Well, we're going to be releasing fortnightly episodes. Each episode will have a set theme or a topic, so we can really sort of delve down into something. We're going to have special guests every other episode as well. And it's going to be lighthearted fun mixed in with business inspiration and motivation too.
Wonderful. Now, up next, let's start with what's going to become a regular feature where Holly plays agony aunt to you, our listeners. So if you have a business dilemma right now that you would like Auntie Holly to help you with, then fire her an email. It's Holly with an IE. Can't stress that enough. Holly with an IE at salonology.uk. And we will pick the best ones that we get through for Auntie Holly to play agony aunt and help you with your dilemma.
What would Auntie Holly do?
This week's question comes from Ellie. Ellie asks, I have a client who always upsets me. She is often rude, arrives late and moans about prices. I'm not sure what to do anymore because I get really worried when she's due in. It's just me working solo in my salon and I can't afford to have people that don't respect my time. What can I do?
Okay, well, thank you, Sophia, for firstly reading that question so perfectly for us all. That's my beautiful niece there. So this is something that we hear all the time, and we hear this across our communities extremely regularly, more regularly than actually we'd like. And that is that client that really gives you a headache. And we've all got them. I think I had them in my business, and I don't think it's exclusive to the salon industry. I think every single business has one of these clients, and it's basically the client that sort of doesn't really ride along with the rules that you've put in place for your business, but isn't really bothered about playing to the rules of your business. So they'll kind of turn up when they want. They'll, you know, change their appointments last minute. They might be late. They might not respect the certain, you know, consultation process or, you know, something you've put in place. They maybe can be rude or negative towards you. They moan when you put your prices up. They're just that difficult client. And I do see it so, so often. And it's incredibly frustrating because we have sort of grown up with this mentality and this attitude that the customer is always right. And we sort of follow this in our business. And, you know, being the salon industry, we're customer focused. We're about bringing a great experience. We're about looking after people. We're about making their, you know, beauty hair journey an enjoyable and a results driven one. But when that client is difficult and causes a stress, it can put a lot of pressure on a business owner because suddenly they're worried about them coming. They're thinking, what problem am I going to have? How am I going to deal with this person? And you know what? I think we're at a day and an age now where actually we don't need to put up with clients that disrespect us as businesses. Because when you have a client coming into your salon, it's not just about you serving them. It's not just about you doing everything that they want. It's a two-way relationship. And these relationships build over the years. And as much as you're expected to look after them and give them the best service, I actually think that clients should be very respectful of your business and what your supplying them to and what you're providing. So if I'm quite frank and quite honest, and I know lots of people would disagree with this, but I would fire your client. I would fire them. I know it sounds crazy and people go, you can't do that. That's a client. But do you know what? Sometimes clients don't mesh well with your business. And it sometimes takes that. It takes that push back to your client to make them realize that maybe they need to be a little bit more respectful of their side of the relationship too. Now, if you were running late for their treatments every time they turned up, if you didn't deliver 100% of what you've promised, if you messed them around and cancelled their treatments all the time, if you said you'd take them blonde and you took them orange, they would be unhappy because you're not living up to your side of the contract. And when you have a client and you're offering them a service, it is certainly a two-way thing. So I would have no hesitation to say, Ellie, fire that client. Because there's going to be somebody else who's going to take their spot, who's going to be happy to come into your business, who's going to be respectful of your time, who's going to be respectful of what you do, who's going to be respectful of your prices. You've worked hard, you've built a business, you've got your qualifications in place, you've got your services in place, you're following a treatment protocol, you're following hygiene regulations to give the best that you can. So it's important that you're giving out to the best clients that are going to appreciate it as much as possible. And I know lots of people are scared when I say fire your client. How on earth can you do that? How can you do that without seeming incredibly rude, incredibly nasty, and really offending a client? Well, it just comes down to being clear, being firm and being fair and saying to your client, you know what? I feel like I can't offer you what you need as my client anymore. You're unhappy with my prices, or you're unable to turn up when I want you to turn up and when we've pre-agreed. And I just think that maybe I'm not the best salon for you. I don't have the flexibility in my time that somebody else would. I don't have the flexibility in my prices. I can't give you the discounts you want. And I think I'm probably just not the best salon for you. So I would recommend you go and find somewhere that can look after you better, because I want you to be a happy client and I feel like I'm not doing it. And straight away, you've turned it back on the client to make them feel that actually you've got their best interests at heart and you can separate in a nice, kind and smooth manner. So Ellie, fire her.
Love that. Because, I think you're right. And I think for everyone, they have those couple of clients where when they see the name coming up in their diary, when they see the booking come through, it fills them with dread and they get that feeling in the pit of their stomach because they just don't want to deal with those clients. And you don't have to put up with them. Mm-hmm. It's okay to fire them. And I think, you know, also as well, Pareto's principle, right? 80-20 rule. 80% of your problems are going to come from 20% of your clients. And conversely, 80% of your profit is going to come from just 20% of your clients. So why not focus on those really good clients and get rid of the rubbish ones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you wrote down your dream client, they're probably going to be the polar opposite of that person that's causing you the stress and the worry, because our dream client's somebody that is going to respect what we do and have respect for our time and the skills that we offer. So we shouldn't be wasting our time on these clients. It really is a no-brainer. And I know some people disagree with me on this. I know some people think you shouldn't fire your clients, but well, hard as that might be, I think it's time to get rid of her.
They're not all created equally, clients.
Definitely not.
At the end of the day, you're going to have some great ones and you're going to have some not some great ones, and you're going to have some real pain in the backside ones. And I think you should be concentrating your efforts on the better ones, right? Those ones that light you up, that you want to deal with, that you want to welcome back and you want their friends to welcome back as well, right? You must be able to think of some who maybe you suggested were looked after by someone else whilst you had the salon.
Yes, I do.
Let's not mention them. But
we won't mention any names, no. But there were certainly scenarios where I thought, I really can't do anything more for you now. Mm. I feel like I have tried really hard to look after you and I'm just not the person that can look after you any further because everything I'm doing is unacceptable for you. And when you get to that point, you realize the relationship can't continue because you are unable to serve them to the level they're expecting. Therefore, they're best to find somebody else who can serve them better And then you can serve somebody who is going to appreciate you. And ultimately, everybody's going to be happier.
And let's be honest, there are a percentage of people who actually don't want you to make them happy. They want to complain. They want to moan. They want to find fault and pick holes in what you do. Because some people are just like that. Mm. And best that they get looked after somewhere else, I would have said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Now, Holly, it's time for a quick message from our sponsors.
Had a bad day? Sick of those pesky last-minute client no-shows? Staff making you want to tear your hair out? Relax. It'll soon be time to go home. Pour a large glass of red, run a soothing bath, and crack open a chilled, thick, and deliciously creamy pot of hummus. Whatever the occasion, hummus is the answer. Bad day? Hummus. Good day? Hummus. Indifferent day? Hummus, of course. Hummus is your friend, possibly your only true friend. This advert was brought to you by the UK Hummus Society. The UK Hummus Society are proud sponsors of the Salonology Show. Don't spread hate, spread hummus.
Are you enjoying the show so far? We certainly hope so. Let us know using the hashtags Salonology Tribe and Salonology Show on socials. And make sure you also come and join our Salonology Superstars free, yes, free Facebook group. You will find that by simply searching Salonology Superstars in the helpful Facebook search bar. And of course, all the links are in the show notes as well. Come and join us and connect with us in there. And speaking of connecting, a seamless link, let's talk about connecting through content.
Yes, because this is a massive thing that we talk about in a lot of our videos and a lot of the lives that we do, and the importance of connecting with your clients. Because I came up with an interesting fact the other day, which was that if your client was to come and spend an hour with you once a month, for instance, then they spend, I think it was something like 0.0013% of their time with you throughout the whole month. Mm-hmm. So you think how much of an impact you've got to have on that person within that 1 hour to be important enough in their whole bubble of life and everything that's going on to maintain and build a long-term relationship. Well, that's not very much time. That's not very much opportunity. So fortunately, we now have social media and other ways of communicating, emails and print and all sorts of different ways that we can stay in touch with our clients. So it's the connections that we're building outside of the actual service delivery. Because, you know, think you've got a client who comes in for an hour-long massage. You're not going to get much conversation during that time, or a facial. You know, you're not going to get much of a chance to get to know one another. So this is a great way through socials to speak to your clients, to build a relationship. Because a little phrase that I've come up with recently, which is kind of my favorite thing to say at the moment, is bonds build businesses.
Oh, I like that.
Bonds build businesses. And it's very, very true. We find that when we connect with people on a personal level, we build relationships, okay? You think you go on a hen do. Right? I know you don't go on many hen do's.
Not as many as I'd like.
You know, on the occasional stag, I mean, it's running out now. We're getting to second marriage time now for most of our friends. But when we go on a hen do, as women, you know, there's going to be people there you've never met before. And I can say that every single hen do I've ever been on, I've come away with at least one new friend. Mm. Because despite it being a very short, intense space of time that you're together, you find that you connect with those people at a really, really deep level because somebody there does a similar job to you or likes traveling to the same place as you or drives the same car as you. It could be anything, but you find you build a bond based on just a couple of similarities. And it's only because you're in that time together that you discover these similarities with each other. So when you've got a client base and you want to connect with them and you want to build that long-term relationship, you need to find those connections. Mm-hmm. And those connections come through putting your personality out through your social media.
So we're talking common ground here, right?
We're talking common ground, yeah. We're talking things that build bonds, ultimately, because bonds build businesses. So if you imagine, you know, you've got a client comes in and it turns out that they like horses and you like horses. Mm. Even if you have nothing else in common, there's a chance that you're going to be bonded by that bit of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
In fact, let me tell you a story.
Please do.
I was once working internationally in real estate. And I lived in Spain, I sold property in the States, and I traveled to London every weekend to sell the property. Now, there's one particular event, I'm working on a stand, and this couple come over to the stand, and they're looking at all the sort of the banners that we've got with all the information about different properties for sale that they can buy. And I walked over and the guy said, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just having a look. So I said, okay, that's absolutely fine. But I clocked that the logo on his t-shirt was of a teeny weeny little helicopter with the digits R22 embroidered underneath. Now I knew this meant a Robinson 22 helicopter.
Mm.
Because my dad flies helicopters. So anyway, eventually sort of wandered over. And one of the first things I said to him was, do you fly helicopters? And he said, yes. How do you know that? And we got chatting. Now, this guy was in his 60s. We probably would have had nothing else in common. I probably would have found it really hard to bond with him. But he ended up buying a property through me because of that one little connection. He might have been happier working with one of my colleagues or something if we'd not found that common ground. But that one thing connected us and that created a lucrative sale for me. So that would have only have happened because he was wearing that t-shirt. So that's like on social media, you've got to wear the t-shirt. You've got to put those things that interest you, talk about yourself, be honest about yourself on your socials because it helps people know who you are and what you're all about. When somebody's coming into a salon, when somebody's coming to have a bikini wax or a spray tan, or they're going to have all their makeup taken off, that puts your client in a vulnerable position. They feel a little bit naked. They feel a bit exposed. So who do you think they're more likely to come to? Somebody who they've got no connection with, know nothing about, haven't seen a video of or anything, or somebody who they've seen on the social medias and they think, I like you, I connect with you, we've got a lot in common. But that can only come if you put yourself out there. You can only build that relationship if you put yourself on the front line.
So in what other ways can we do this then? So you mentioned about getting this out there. Are you talking purely about social media or what other ways can you do this?
It can come in any form. I mean, we know the power of Facebook Lives. We do them all the time. And we know that they're really, really powerful and people have got to know us and that most of our community know that you love Lego and hummus. Most of our community know that I love Disney and shoes because we talk about it openly.
Disney and cheese.
Disney and shoes.
Oh, shoes.
I don't eat cheese.
No, I was going to say.
Although it was my second word I ever spoke. The first was
what
more.
What was the first?
More.
More cheese was the it first was, thing
no,
you said.
No, the first word I ever said was more. And the second word I ever said was cheese. And then there is video of me when I can just speak saying, more cheese, please, mum. What cheese, please, mum. But I don't eat cheese anymore. So
fun fact.
So
well, actually say fun fact, but it is right, because why don't you eat cheese?
Because I'm a vegan.
Right, so straight away, bang, anyone that's listening,
yeah,
some people are going to resonate with that.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
bring them a little bit closer.
Exactly,
one little micro step closer.
Some people might not like me because of that.
Well, there's also that as well. Yes, but then would they be your dream client?
Probably
in that
not
respect?
So putting yourself out there and being upfront and clear about who you are is really, really powerful because it's a way to connect with people. It's important because what we do in our businesses is personal. We're often physically touching our clients. We are helping them with their problems. So we want people to know that they can trust us, that they can feel relaxed with us, that they can be honest with us. One of the things I built in my salon, it was so, so clear from the very beginning that I had a no B word policy. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say the word. I don't think I should.
All right, don't.
But I...
Is it clear what that word is? Because there's a lot of words that begin with B.
Well...
What does it rhyme with?
Mean girls.
Oh, mean
witch.
Girls. Oh, it rhymes with bitch.
Rhymes with witch.
Right. Bewitched. Right. No one likes bewitched.
Exactly. So...
look at my father.
So when people were coming in and they were having a spray tan and they were taking all of their clothes off, they were coming out afterwards and they were saying, I felt really comfortable. I felt really relaxed. I didn't feel like I was going to be judged because, you know, women are all different shapes and sizes, and some would come in and apologize because they had cellulite on their bottom. Who cares if you got cellulite on your bottom? I don't care. We're going to tan you and make you feel amazing. But that was part of the brand. That was part of the business. And that comes from what you put on your social media, because until they've walked through the door of your salon and met you and seen that you're a nice, genuine, kind person, they've got no idea who you are unless you put yourself out in a digital format. So even with your emails, talking about yourself at a personal level, if you've got kids, talking about your kids, people resonate with that. People love talking about their children and, you know, what they're into and their hobbies and, you know, if they do football or ballet or whatever. It might turn out that their kids do the same things. Your kids might go to the same school with each other. People buy from people at the end of the day.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier on how not everyone is going to be your perfect client. Not everyone is going to be your dream client. Mm-hmm. Certain clients are going to resonate with you and with what you're all about and with your branding and your ethos and the values of your company. So what are good ways that people can help get those out there to make sure that they are attracting the right people in, right? Because you must have had the experience where you see maybe an advert or a post, or you read a blog and you think, they are for me, that business, right? It's almost like it could have been written just for you. So how can people go about taking advantage of that?
Well, when you put yourself out on social media, however you do it, whether it's, you know, posting memes or posting pictures or whatever, you're creating a story. Everything you put out there is... It's setting up like little bricks that people can create their own image of you. They're all little tidbits of information that they're going to pick up, and they're going to start building a concept of who you are and what you do and what you offer and what you're all about and if you're the right business for them. It's not just one thing.
No.
They're not just going to get one email from you and go, oh, this is the perfect salon for me to visit, mm-hmm. or see one picture of you or one mm-hmm. picture of your salon. There's going to be a number of different factors. So first of all, you've got to make sure that you're varying what you're putting out there, that you are allowing them to build a full picture, that you're giving them that information to help them make an informed decision as to whether or not you're the right business for them to visit. Because, you know, this is their hard-earned money and they're going to go and hand it over to somebody. And they're only going to hand it to you if they think you're the right person to do what it is they want to achieve. So it's thinking of what it is they want to achieve, how you can do it, and how you can show them that you can achieve that for them. It's about showing them who you are as a person, who you are as a family member, who you are as a friend. And it's about creating stories. It's about creating a picture. And it's about building that up for your clients so they can make that decision. They can look at you and say, yes, this is the person for me, or no, this isn't the person for me.
So your building block analogy that you used earlier, everything that you do is a potential little building block, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the building blocks are different sizes for different clients based on the value or the importance of it to them. So could that even be things like your window display, your logo, your attitude of your staff, the uniforms they wear, right?
Absolutely.
Because to different people, some of that is going to hold more value than other things, right?
Yeah.
And all of these things together, when added together, creates the overall picture.
Yeah.
Which therefore looks differently to each client.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the other things that people who are listening, so that they can get some value out of this and they can apply this to their business, what are these specific elements that you think are the most important ones to help make sure they get the right people coming to them?
Well, the thing is with salons, they're multidimensional. Uh-huh. There's so many different levels that go into having a salon and being a salon owner and running a salon business. But I think you have to be, as a salon owner, incredibly clear on who you are and who you're attracting and what you're doing. And I think this is what people get confused about, right? They think, I need to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
And you can't be everything to everyone, and that's okay. You just need a selection of really, really good, committed, dedicated clients who are going to come to you all the time, and you're set, right?
I couldn't agree more.
So when you're putting yourself out there and you're communicating with these people and you're building this image and you're putting those building blocks out there, you need to think about what building blocks are going to be most important to your dream client. If you're attracting an older market who are very financially stable, and your sort of main goal is to attract people who are looking for anti-aging services, who are going to get amazing results, who are going to invest in products. I know a lot of our clients are gearing towards that now.
I like to call that the grey pound.
I think that would be insulting to a lot of people, because considering that technically your skin becomes mature at 25, yeah. I'd like to think that most 26-year-olds would think themselves beyond.
You think that they're going after that market then? 26, you're saying, is aging.
That's technically.
Well, I am past it, long in the tooth, over the hill, almost dead, based on that rationale.
I know. Well, you know, we've had a few people offer to iron your face over the years.
I think they iron me out, as in bury me.
Might. I hope not. Well, we've never had those kind of threats. But yes, yeah, some people have offered to do some lifting and provide you with some products. But technically, that's when skin is considered aging. At 26 and upwards. How scary is that? So
Hashtag Salonology Show if you want to try and repair my wrinkled face.
Free treatments for Ryan. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that the information we're putting out there is in alignment with the sort of people that we're trying to attract. Now that might be, okay, we're going to say 40 to 55-year-olds who have plenty of money and want to keep themselves looking youthful and young, and they don't want to have injectables. Just say that's our market. Mm-hmm. Every bit of information we put out there is going to either repel or attract them. So we've got to really think strongly about what we're putting out there and where we're posting these things. Now, we know that Instagram has a younger following than Facebook. So you're probably going to put your marketing, your effort into a Facebook platform because you're more likely to find the right clients there. You want to be thinking about, you know, you're not going to talk about Love Island because most 40 plus don't watch Love Island.
Well, this goes back, doesn't it, to the this is fundamentals here of marketing. Your three M's. Right?
Yeah.
Market. Market, message, media.
Yes.
Right? Who are you trying to attract? Mm. What is it you're trying to say to them?
Exactly.
Where do you find them?
Exactly.
In that order.
Yeah.
So as you say, it's important to get a clear grasp on exactly who it is you're trying to attract first.
Exactly.
Right? And not just putting stuff out there and then making sure that the messaging that you're putting out is what's going to resonate with them.
Absolutely. Right?
Get inside their head a little bit.
Imagine if somebody said, walked into a typical salon owner and said, look, I think you're really, really educated on skincare. Mm. I want you to come and do a talk about skincare to a group of females, but they didn't tell you the age group. Now, if you're going to go and speak to a group of teenagers who experience acne and changes in their skin, you're going to talk about something very, very different to what you're going to talk about to a group of 60 plus. Mm. And it's the same on your social media.
Sure.
That communication has to be in alignment with who you're trying to attract all the time and also who you're trying to repel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're offering anti-aging lifting treatments that you're charging £500 a time, well, you don't want to attract 18-year-old girls because they're not going to be in the market for those treatments. They're not going to want to spend the money. They're not going to need the treatments. They're not going to put the investment in because they don't need to. So it's about that balance. It's about knowing who you're talking to and talking on their level.
Yeah. And I think as you've just hit the nail on the head there with one of the biggest challenges I think that a lot of people have, and actually moreover, one of the biggest mistakes that we see people make over and over and over again, and they try and appeal to everyone and they try and be a generalist instead of a specialist. And actually, if you're going after everyone, the chances are you're going to attract no one. Right. Mm. You need to get really tight on who it is you're going after. And it's okay if you don't attract everyone. It's all right that everyone doesn't like you. Can't be everyone's cup of tea or you'd be a mug.
Well, I think we've summed that up pretty well.
Okay.
So now it's time for this.
Hi ho everyone. Welcome to the Salonology Show. Now, without further ado, it's time for Ryan's Rant! Yay!
So, Ryan, we all know you can be a little bit of a grump.
Do we all know that?
He can be a bit of a grump.
Okay.
Grumpy old man. You see his happy face. I don't always see his happy face. I sometimes hear him when he's unhappy. So tell me, Ryan, who has annoyed you this week?
Well, Holly, I have
me?
Been... No, no.
Wow,
hashtag
bonus.
Shocker.
Hashtag winning.
Yeah. No, but hashtag is an appropriate word to use here because it on Instagram, I've been getting very annoyed recently.
Ooh.
And no, I have. And I get annoyed on Instagram, as you know.
Hashtag problems.
Yes, lots of hashtag problems. Much like you, I follow hundreds, actually thousands of salon owners and they follow me, right? Same for you,
mm-hmm.
Yeah? At It's Ryan Power, love. now.
Are they from Salonology?
Right, so hundreds of them follow me, hundreds of follow you. The most annoying thing ever is when you don't know who owns the business,
mm-hmm.
Right? And moreover, a lot of people, what they kind of do is they, it's obviously their own account and they are making up to make it all about the business, right?
Yeah.
All about the business. The handle is the business name. The picture is some sort of generic beauty or hair type picture, maybe of the premises, maybe not. And then when you scroll down their feed or look through their stories, you can't see anything, no trace whatsoever of the actual owner of the business.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
They don't put their name in there anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't got any pictures of them. They've just got pictures typically of clients. And I'm not saying don't do before and afters, right? That's important. But don't only do that and nothing else, because the massive thing that they're missing out on here, they don't have any picture of the staff, none of, as I say, of themselves, none of them outside of the business, and nothing personal. They're not telling any stories. And by stories, I don't mean stories in the Instagram sense of the word. I mean stories as in, you know, once upon a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Telling stories about themselves.
Who
the business.
The business is, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. No mention of it anywhere. This is a massive, massive mistake, okay? Because as we touched on in the last section, people ultimately buy people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people buy people and people want to buy from people. They don't buy brands and they don't want to buy from brands, okay? They want to buy people. So you need to put yourself in front of that camera a little bit more. You need to show the person behind the business, because your clients are going to find it much, much easier to connect with you, the person, rather than the overall business or the brand. And by hiding away, you are losing sales ultimately.
Yep.
So I would encourage anyone listening to pull back the curtain a little bit, right? Because people want to see that. They want to see the faces. They want to hear your stories, okay? Because if people buy in to you, then they are far more likely to want to buy from you, right? But you've got to give them the chance. You've got to meet them a bit halfway. So more videos, more images, more stories about the people in the business, right? And if it's just you, if you're the only person in the business, that's fine. Stop trying to make it out like you're a massive salon that hires 50 people with 20 treatment rooms. If it's you in your garage, there's no problem with being you in your garage, but be honest about it. It's going to be pretty flipping obvious when the client turns up if you've been, you know, if you've been trying to masquerade as something that you're not, right? So tell your story, tell the journey, tell the struggle, put some passion into it and let people actually connect with you, the individual, a bit more. Because I think that when people try and make the business look to be much bigger, is they think it's going to impress people and they think that people want to deal with massive brands and all that kind of thing. But I don't believe that to be true. I think in my personal experience, that isn't the case. Most people want to know the person behind the brand. Plus, they're going to feel cheated when they find out the real story anyway. So you might as well just be honest from the start, right? And if it's just you, then that is fine. People will warm to that. People will like that. As I say, people ultimately do buy people. And not only that, nowadays, never has it been more true that people want to shop local and support local businesses, right? So give them the chance to do that. Step out from behind the scenes, show your face a little bit more, be on your live reels and your live videos, show a picture of you, show a picture of your flipping dog, if you've got one. My God, people go mad for a picture of a dog.
They love a picture of Maverick.
Yeah, they do. If you've got children, you're happy to post pictures of them, then do that as well. Because not least, because for your viewers and for your audience, it's going to be more interesting than just seeing 20 bloody before and after images every day and nothing else. That's so boring. You've got to give people a reason to want to follow you, a reason for them to want to engage with you, because if you don't, you're going to be costing yourself lots and lots and lots of sales.
And can I also add something to this? Because I 100% agree with you, but something you and I have conversed about in the past is when you're on your Instagram, and because of doing what we do, like you said, we follow a lot of salons follow us. And sometimes we put up a post and then we get a response. And because it's a business Instagram, it's, you know, the name of their salon. And sometimes we don't know who that is.
Not got a clue.
And so we'll click on their profile because we want to respond with, hi, thanks so much, you
Shirley.
Know, Elizabeth, as opposed to thanks so much, Beauty Rooms in Bournemouth.
Yes.
And we can't find anything about who it is who owns that Instagram account.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we literally, we can't even from our level personally thank them for their comment because we don't know who it is.
No.
And we have to go through and you look and there's no photos of them and there's no information on their profile. And then you go one step further because you really feel you've got a response. You go onto their website. And you still can't find anything.
Oh, which is even more annoying.
And then we're literally banging our heads against the brick wall, aren't
yes.
we? Saying, get into our community. We're going to get this shit sorted out and get you back on track because that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, yeah, as you were saying, yeah, the website thing, I mean, that's another whole...
That's a whole
that's
other
another
subject.
Whole rant. But yeah, people who aren't telling a bit about their story and about their business on an About Us page of their website, massively, massively... missing a trick.
I know.
Massively.
Give me a name. Tell me your name. You want me to give you £1,000 to laser off my armpit hair? I want to know your name.
Or iron my face.
Iron Ryan's face. So I think that's a wrap for episode one of the Salonology Show. Please subscribe to our podcast. Please share it with your friends. And of course, please use the hashtag Salonology Show and Salonology Show and hashtag Salonology Tribe. And let us know how you feel about it. We've loved doing episode one. And... we'll be back for episode two, won't we?
We will, which is available right now, Holly, at all major podcast channels and stations and all those good things. We're on Spotify and Apple and Google and all those good things and everywhere you would expect to find us. And episode two is already there right now where you can go and in fact, you should.
One.
Well, you should probably go and listen to that right now if you've got any,
I think you should.
Any sense whatsoever.
I think you should. Go around the block and that a few more times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Do a few more laps.
Take the dog for a longer walk.
Drag the dog around another lap. We've got a very, very special guest indeed. We've got beauty brand owner and star of television's The Apprentice, Pamela Laird, will be joining us for a chat. So do not miss that. In fact, go and download it right now, this second, this instant, because it's a good one and we will see you there.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.